I am Russ Salzberg. Welcome to Giants Post Game Live here on My Nine. My colleagues joining me, Roman Oben, Jeff Figos, and Amani Toomer. And guys, I mean, you heard me say it, respectability. There was none of that today. And clearly, two teams going in opposite directions.
Yeah, guys, I think the most difficult part about watching a game like this, when you have guys that actually played the game, and we all played a long time, you know, we have to be honest with the fans about what we saw. And I think defensively, the team early on, you know, gave the Giants offense a chance to at least compete in this game and not let this get out of hand. But, you know, 12 first downs, 1 for 9 on third down. You know, you lose the time of possession. You know, there's not a lot of good things you can say about where this team was offensively.
Yeah, you know, they're going up against the Seattle Seahawks team. You knew that coming into the game that this team was going to be very, very tough. That, you know, we all know they're tough at home in Seattle, but they go on the road, guys, and they come in here and play like the Super Bowl contender. And, you know, you never know. This team may be back in MetLife Stadium sooner or later. But the Giants had a respectability, and there was none there today. Offensively, nothing to them. Defensively, the guys hung in there. 13-0 at halftime, but the offense just could not get anything done.
The offense was absolutely atrocious. It was one of the worst offensive performances I've seen, and more specifically, the offensive line. They did not give Eli a chance. A lot of those times when he's throwing those interceptions, not giving him any passes on his interceptions, because 25 interceptions over the year, that's not a trend. That's not just a gimmick. That's a trend. And when you have a trend like that, you're not going to win many games. But this offensive line was absolutely horrible. Pressure couldn't stop the run. It looked like men amongst boys when the defensive line of the Seattle Seahawks played against the offensive line of our New York Giants.
Yeah, Monty, I mean, looking at this offensive line, you know, this is a game where the offensive line had to have a perfect game because, you know, Bennett, Clemens, all these guys, all these rushers.
They were coming.
Not only them, but Andre Brown, whoever was back there, was Eli Manning's personal protector, whether they brought 4 or 5 or 6 guy. I mean, they had to play extremely well just to give Eli Manning a chance, and they didn't. And when Eli Manning had a chance, some of those interceptions, you'll probably talk about this later, was a result of some of the receivers not fighting for the ball to prevent some of those interceptions. So it really worked both ways against the Giants' offense.
The last time the Giants were blanked at home was the 2006 playoffs against the Carolina Panthers. Ironically, by the same scores today, 23-0. The last time they were blanked twice in a season was back in 1976. But what I saw today, to me, that was terribly disturbing was the lack of second and third efforts by the Giants, and seeing plenty of that from the Seahawks. That's why I say teams going in the opposite directions. I know Eli threw some bad interceptions, but at the same point, if you're a receiver, go up and get it. And if you're a defender, go up and get it. And I didn't see any of that from the Giants, and I saw nothing but that from the Seahawks today.
Yeah, I mean,
we've been on the set and we've been on radio, TV, whatever, is talking about the Giants, and it's just a reoccurring theme at how this team is playing. There's just no sense of urgency as far as what these guys want to do for their contracts next year, how to play in front of Jerry Reese. He's going to be making all the calls, but guys are going out there, and we all played the game enough to know that we talk about pride. All right, pride starts. It didn't start with 3 games left in the season. It starts at the very beginning of the season. You got to have pride if you're a professional football player. I see no pride out of some of these players at all today.
Yeah, and one of the things is, like, whenever there's a jump ball today, it always seemed like it came down with the Seahawks.
Always.
Why is that? It's the effort. You know, there's a difference between thinking you're trying hard and actually trying hard. You watch the Seattle Seahawks today; they were trying hard. It showed through their play, through their taking care of the little things, even on the punt coverage. They are inside making these winning type of plays. The Giants. You got people out there, you got individuals out there, you got Antrell Roe playing hard, you got Beeson playing hard, but the majority of guys, especially on that offensive line, I especially want to call those guys out because that was unacceptable.
Well Rome, you're the former offensive lineman here. You know, we always hear about a rookie quarterback. You say you got to protect the rookie so he doesn't start hearing footsteps and his confidence gets shattered. I don't care if you have a veteran and a 2-time Super Bowl MVP like Eli. If he keeps winding up on his keister time and time again, he's going to start being gun-shy, too, and I think we're seeing that happening to him.
And not only was Eli Manning being gun-shy, but you know, we all know, it's no secret, Eli Manning's not the most mobile guy. He's not known for making plays outside the pocket. But there were a couple of sacks where the pocket just collapsed, and you see Eli just kind of dropping to his knees to just protect himself from getting injured. I mean, when it gets to that point, guys, that's when you have to say this line, whether it's injuries, you had three guys on IR. I mean, these guys are fighting their tails off, and we see them work hard every week. Mm-hmm. Just at home, you should be better in pass protection than on the road because you're not laid off the ball. It's not because of the snap count or the crowd noise. If this game was at Seattle, I don't know what would have happened today.
As your old coach Dan Reeves used to say, something is bad wrong here, and something was bad wrong today. And we'll talk a whole lot more about it today. You're watching Giants Post Game Live here on My9. Stick around. We've got to hear from the head coach, Eli Manning, and other players as well. And I'm sure whatever they have to say will not be good. Stay right where you are. Giants post game live once again. The final score: Giants get blanked by a score of 23-0. Right now, we'll head back to MetLife, where head coach Tom Coughlin is about to speak.
I expected a great effort today. I think defensively on special teams, we got it. Offensively, we did not. There's no way to sugarcoat it. It was a pathetic offensive performance. We didn't block anybody. We didn't make any plays. We didn't create any opportunities for ourselves. I told the players who prepared and gave great effort that I appreciated what they did. And I told those that were obvious that they had not, that I felt sorry for them because they're missing the whole point.
Tom, what seems to be rising for you, and you seem to think during the week that you would get a good.
Oh, I did, and it was last night I did. I mean, the meeting was intense. It was good. It was positive. Really had no indication. I mean, we're not taking anything away from their defense now. They're number one in the league for a reason. They're a good defensive team, but there's no excuse in what went on out there. I mean, just to turn the ball over, to put our defense back out there over and over and over and over again. The messages are that you can't turn the football over. Each play is unique. Each one of them is unique, and how it happened, so on and so forth. Today, a couple of them were, you know, we're depending on our best people to try to win, and we didn't win, and the ball was thrown up, and we got out fought for the ball as well.
Is there a point now where it turns to concern for what he's just not doing?
Well, there's concern. Obviously, there's concern. I mean, you perform that way and you have those kind of results. There's no way around it. I mean, there's no production. There's turnovers. There's we didn't rush the ball for anything to help. You know. Allow that some of the balance might take place. We didn't do that. And all we did, even at the end when we had the opportunity, it looked as if we had a chance for a touchdown in the corner. Out jumped, tipped up in the air, and that turned into an interception. So that was just a, you know, as I said, very, very poor performance on the entire offense's part.
Tom, is there anything on your mind that you've seen from Eli this year?
I just don't believe that. We've had some of these circumstances before. If we had a better running game, obviously we could tighten this up a little bit and not create those circumstances. But we actually went into this game with good thoughts about remaining balanced, and
we tried to continue to stay that way even when the score got a little bit lopsided, but we weren't having much success running the ball either. And we got beat up front in a couple spots. You saw it as well as I did. I'm not going to point names out, but we got consistently beat in a couple of spots up front.
Do you think Victor might be dangerous for not playing again?
Well, I don't know. I haven't been into the medical room, and I will. I mean, I don't know. You looked at that play that the kid went up. He made a heck of an effort. He came down on the side of his helmet, and they said that what happens when the hand is under the ball and then the ball rolls out of your hand after you hit the ground. I mean, but anyway, I haven't had a chance to visit in there. I know he came down on the side of his head, so we'll see.
Did you come up with the hard tackle on that play,
David? Not that I could speak to right now. I wasn't called anything intentional or anything. Any penalty called there. Ian?
Did you take Eli out earlier? I mean,
not really. No.
No. Down
23-0. No. You dig your own hole. You got to fight your way out of it. He's our guy. And that wouldn't have been my decision at that point in time. No. Well, that's a very good question, and I think it's not one that can be an absolute answer, black and white. I think it's a little bit of both, to be honest with you. I know we've all, for a lot of years, depended highly on our skilled guys, and let's face it, Seattle has two, maybe three outstanding corners who are having outstanding years, but we didn't have the kind of success that we thought we would have tonight. Excuse me?
You mentioned the interception in the end zone, the ball to Peter Hicks. There's another one kind of Hicks.
Yep.
What are you saying about his efforts?
Well, I'm going to have to look at the tape to see that. I mean, he got out jumped a couple of times. And the second one there, the ball was just kept alive. And you have a very good safety who was able to get over on, with the ball in the air and be in position there.
What do you do on a reversal where Myers was stripped and retained the ball? Was there any talk on the side about putting the referees putting more time on the clock? It seemed like they reset the clock.
I thought he put a few seconds back on. Maybe I'm wrong, but I thought he did.
You obviously not having the offensive effort. If you go, your defensive players talked about being flat. With two games left, how concerned are you about that? It's 2 weeks in a row where the effort wasn't really
good. Well, I can't. I'm not going to. The effort two-thirds of the way tonight was outstanding. And then you have to get into the, perhaps the effort was pretty good offensively, but we got, we didn't have a lot of success. So somewhere in there is the answer, which I'll try to determine when I look at the tape.
You noted the effort of certain guys. You should kind of look in the mirror, a paraphrase, kind of assuming you said. What do you do going forward with those guys that you said?
Well, I told them we're never going to stop fighting. We're never going to stop working. We're never going to stop believing. That's all there is to it. This is our team. These guys have to respond.
The ninth loss of your first losing season since your first year. Personally, how hard are you taking?
Not very well. Not very well.
Anything else?
Okay.
Well, head coach Tom Coughlin certainly not at all pulling any punches. I mean, he said it plain and simple, pathetic, didn't block, didn't make any plays, out fought. And for the guys who are playing like that, feel sorry for him because they missed the whole point. I mean, can't be any more damning when your head coach, who's a player's coach, says stuff like that.
Well, you see Tom up there. He's just searching for answers. We're searching for answers on how to analyze this team with what they're doing. These guys. is, you know, it's making it very easy on the management for next year, yeah, the guys that are coming back, because when they go out and play the way that they played this last two games, when you think about it, if I'm Jerry Reese and I'm the guys upstairs in the scouting department and the personnel sitting there, it makes it real easy on me, on my decision if these guys are going to come back or not, because when you talk about coming back and playing these last three games for your job, and you see the way that the offensive in particular played. Now, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of guys that are playing very well out there.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Andre Roll being one of them. Yeah, I think he's doing a great job. Victor Cruz. The rest of the guys, it makes it real easy on them. The management just, hey, do I bring this guy back? You want to come back? Yeah. I know you play like that, you're not coming back.
I mean, you look at a guy like Hakeem Nicks. I mean, he has 5 targets today, 1 catch for 5 yards. This is his contract year. Whether he's with the Giants, whether he's with another team, you still got to prove that you're an elite-level player. He was a couple years ago, but that doesn't mean he is now. And there's a lot of things he has to prove. And just because you're a first-round draft pick, nobody cares. 1 catch for 5 yards, you get out-jumped twice for interceptions.
Well, that, to me, that was worse than anything. 2 balls in particular his way that were intercepted. I mean, he could have had something to get called for offensive pass interference.
Yeah, and let's go back to Coach Coughlin's comments. I mean, one thing he said that really stuck out to me is that meetings, practice, film, walkthrough, at some point, psychologically, as a player, somewhere between Friday afternoon and kickoff on Sunday, you've got to get yourself mentally ready to go out there and perform and make these coaches look good. You know, and all they can really do is coach them up. And you know, changes happen on teams, and this is a league where everyone's trying to get better every week, every offseason. But I saw a Seattle Seahawks team, guys, that was having fun out there.
That was a clinic.
Defense was flying around. Offense, Russell Wilson, making plays, flipping the ball to running backs. I mean, I remember a time when seeing, you know, Ahmad Bradshaw doing that. I remember a time seeing Eli Manning just staying there clean, picking up receivers. And we've departed from that part. So I think something has to be examined about where this team is now and the type of organization that's comprising this locker room going forward.
Well, where this team right now is 5-9, and the team that beat them today is 12-2, looking very much like they'll be back at MetLife Stadium on February 2nd in Super Bowl 48. By the way, to be seen on our sister station, Fox 5. All right, got a lot more coming up. You are watching Giants Post Game Live here on My9, Eli Manning and others coming up, so stay right where you are.
We're a very good team coming in. Defensively, though, I thought you guys did everything you could to keep this team in the game. How about the sense of pride and the fact that you guys were able to be tough?
Yeah, from a defensive standpoint, we think we did a good job. We just made mistakes on little things, but we would like to come out here and get this win as a team victory. But we show as a defense that we had a lot of pride.
At 13-0 at halftime, you guys were still in the game, only 2 scores down. Where did you start to see it slip away?
Like, to me, I never seen it slip away, because like, as a team, like, we all, like you said before, we all have a lot of pride. Our offense can put up points. We just had to come out and help them as a defense get turnovers and things like that sort.
I know you haven't played the whole season, but a lot of people think Seattle's the favorite to go to the Super Bowl. Based on what you saw today, how good do you think they are?
I think we could have beat them. We can't play that again.
Well, no, thanks for your time. Well, Terrell, a lot of productivity out of you today. You were able to get some space. The ball was able to find you a lot. That had to feel pretty good.
Oh, yeah, it felt good to go out there. You know, I was going out there trying to get my team a spark. When Victor went down, I hope he's okay. But basically, coach trying to put him in position to give me the ball.
How much did you know coming in that you would have an opportunity to be a bigger part of the offense?
I mean, I knew. That's why they drafted me here, to come in, maybe play supposed to lay down the field. So I'll just try to do my best and give my team a good look.
We talked all about that Legion of Boom secondary that they have. How difficult are they to actually pass against?
I mean, they're good on the outside. You know, they got some good players and good defense inside. But we started off a little slow. You know, we didn't play our best game today, so.
And of course, getting shut out, never a good feeling. I know you guys wanted to score some points.
Oh, exactly. We wanted to score. We always down about that. You know, but we go back, watch them, to correct things.
Really good to get that cue.
All right, thank you.
Okay, let's go back to you guys.
All right, well, starting out slow is an understatement, because they started out slow, they were in the middle slow, and they finished slow. It was a bad day. As I said, Dan Reeves would say, bad wrong. 23-0, ain't nothing good about that.
Yeah, and then the effort is the real thing that I have issue. I think we all have issue with, because we played the game, we know how it's supposed to be played, and we know how it's not supposed to be played. You look at Seattle, and you look at this video, there's going to be a lot of giant highlights on the Seattle Seahawks highlight reel at the end of the game, at the end of the season, because they absolutely put on a clinic. They taught you how to pass rush. They taught you how to field punts. They taught you how to catch intercept balls at the high point. They were what most teams are supposed to be at this time of year if you want to try and go to the next level and go to the playoffs.
Well, they look like a team that is we know they're going to the playoffs. They look like a
12-2 football team. And the thing that's disturbing about me, I was the punter. So, talk about physical presence. I never had the physical presence on the team. But the offensive linemen, their physical presence today was not there. I talk about, your point of attack coming off the ball. They had nothing there. And, Roman, you can speak about this. Yeah. When you're inside in the trenches, that's how it's your will against that next guy. And those Seattle Seahawks defensive linemen, they were just taking it at the offensive linemen for the Giants today.
Yeah, and one thing as an offensive lineman, just going back to the X's and O's here, when you're playing a team that's known to be pass rushers, you usually can run the ball against those guys, because those guys, they play high, they usually want sacks. This Seattle Seahawks defensive team was giving up over 100 yards a game on the ground, right? Two times this season, they got ran up 200 yards. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So 2 weeks ago against the Cowboys, this same offensive line that struggled to get to the line of scrimmage today rushed for 200 yards. So it's very inconsistent, to say the least, where they have been week to week. Again, at home, pass protection should be better. You should be able to hear the snap count. You're comfortable. It's your environment. You're not traveling 6 hours across the country. They just learned a lesson, what happened last week in San Diego, the time difference, all that. You played a team at 1 o'clock that physically got up at 5 o'clock in the morning, Russ. I mean, they physically, their biological clock, 5 o'clock in the morning, got up, ran their own team out of the gym at home, and I think that, as an offensive player, is embarrassing to him. I mean, you remember. I remember punting the ball, getting off on third down, watching Jesse Armstead and Keith Hamilton, Michael Strahan, and these guys just giving us all these mean looks because we weren't holding up our end of the bargain offensively, and that still hurts to think about that. So as an offensive player, the pride aspect of that, Russ, is something that really is paramount.
The four of us can criticize all we want. There's nothing worse when a head coach says, pathetic.
Yeah, 100%.
Outfought. Gets no worse than that, and that was in the own words of one head coach, Tom Coughlin. All right, stick around, folks, but got to take care of a little business first. Go to Adorama.com/Giants to win yourself a Sony CyberShot digital camera. Adorama, the official electronics retailer of the Giants. Again, you're watching Giants Post Game Live here on My9. Eli Manning coming up. Want to hear what he's got to say, so stay right where you are.
Well, it's just, you kind of go into this game, you know you're out of the playoffs, but you kind of look forward to opportunity to compete and go against a good defense and try to go out there and enjoy those 3 hours of playing football, doing something you love, and competing and trying to have some good plays. But it's not fun when you get dominated like that, when you get beaten, you can't get anything going offensively, and obviously struggle and throw interceptions and have bad plays. So that's not enjoyable, and it's tough to deal with. Yeah, I don't feel any differently on my throws. So I don't think that's a reason for some of the interceptions.
Do you have any single explanation in your mind that you can share for 25 interceptions?
No, I think each one has its own story, and sometimes it's bad decision or a bad throw, or today it just seemed like their guys made plays. They went up and grabbed some balls and took it away from our guys.
Has there ever been a point this season where you thought the offense was a good stretch, was really insane?
You know, I thought we had a couple good games, but when you can, I guess, single out, certain moments, you're not doing very well offensively. I thought when we played at Philadelphia offensively, we had a, we're moving the ball up and down the field and had to settle for a bunch of field goals, but at least felt we were driving the ball. There have been times when we were able to move it. Just obviously today, every time we got a little spark or got a first down and we followed it up with a bad play or a negative play right after. Yeah, I mean, today, I thought our defense played well against a good offense and did a lot of good things and kept us in the game there for a long time. But, offensively, we didn't have much. We didn't run the ball very well. We didn't throw the ball well. We didn't block things well. So they took everything away from us, and we just didn't have much to lean on. And they had a good game plan, and they got good players. And there's a reason I think they're if not the number one defense in NFL, right up there. And they showed us why.
Eli, you and Tom both said their guys make plays. Is there a sense of frustration that your guys aren't making plays?
Well, yeah, I mean, sometimes we knew we were going to get a lot of one-on-one matchups and kind of looking forward to trying to take advantage of those matchups and see if we can win those individual routes and took our shots sometimes you kind of feel it out and you're going to say, all right, we're going to take our one-on-one matchups. If we're winning, we'll keep doing it. If not, then you kind of go elsewhere. And right off kind of the get-go, we threw a couple of those one-on-one down the field throws and both intercepted. So that's kind of not what you're looking forward to. And so you right away giving them the ball and they're kind of taking us out of what we were planning to do. Yeah, it's tough and not what we're used to around here and it's been obviously a tough year and started off poorly, kind of got where we were playing pretty good football and these last 2 weeks from an offensive standpoint have not played well at all and so it's tough to deal with. You feel like you prepare hard and you game plan and you practice well, and we come out on Sundays and we just don't execute and play at the level we need to win games.
Tom said that feel sorry for some guys who, names mentioned, really didn't come prepared and didn't seem to have to play the game. After the game or toward the end, was it a collective sense that some guys really weren't there?
I can't call anybody out or do anything like that. You can look at the film and maybe see, but I just think we just got beat. We got outplayed at a lot of spots, and I'd hate to think that it wasn't, guys weren't prepared or didn't come out here ready to play. I think they just wanted it more, and obviously they're playing for bigger things than we are, and they outplayed us.
In every sense of the word, Eli hit the nail on the head. Yeah, they outplayed us, but something that's been a theme this whole show. Amani, let me ask you this. What does Tom Coughlin and Jerry Reese do now? From a coaching standpoint, are you coaching to win the next two games? Obviously, you're still trying to do that, or now are you seriously thinking about next year and your roster for next year over these last two games?
Well, you're definitely thinking about the roster for next year because of the fact that you're out of the playoffs, your team isn't in contention, you have that luxury to get started a little bit earlier. I think one of the things that when I look back at this game, you hear Eli Manning's talk about they had a lot of one-on-one matchups that they lost. Hakeem Nicks, Victor Cruz, one-on-one versus their two corners. Both of those corners, Sherman and Maxwell, both had two interceptions today. That just shows you the domination that not only happened on the offensive line, but happened on the secondary against the corners against the New York Giants wide receivers.
Yeah, well, Giants started out 0-6, and now looks like they're going to close, unless things change in a hurry, the next two games, you know, don't give you a lot of hope, because at 5-9, they look just awful today. All right, you are watching, though, Giants Post Game Live, brought to you by The Children's Place, the official kids fashion partner of the New York Giants. Stay right where you are. Again, this is Giants Post Game Live. We've got Justin Tuck coming up. We'll hear what number 91 has to say, so keep it where it is. Welcome back to Giants Post Game Live. Bad afternoon. Giants blanked by the 12-2 Seattle Seahawks. 23-0. Giants fall to 5-9. Let's head back to MetLife Stadium here with number 91 for Big Blue, Justin Tuck, has to say.
Yeah, it'll be my first losing season. We just hadn't played well enough to warrant that, obviously. And today was another prime example of that.
So tough with Russell Wilson,
you
had a couple times behind there.
Yeah, you can pick your poison on him. Obviously, he's a great athlete, and he's very quick, and you know he's padding that little pump fake, and he makes it tough out there. You don't know. He really gets you in between your rushes. If you rush him, you got to be warned of him, you know, step up in the pocket and prolonging plays. And if you sit back there and kind of try to mirror him, you know, that gives him more time to, you know, allow his wide receivers to get open. So he did a pretty good job of that today.
It must be hard in a game like this not to get frustrated.
You know, I think what we preach on defense and what they preach on offense, you know, it goes hand in hand. We always preach we can control what we can control. You know, we can't control what the offense does, and they can't control what we do. So, you know, it's hard not to get frustrated, but, you know, frustration doesn't help you go out there and do your job. I've been around here long enough to know, and it's been a lot of times we play like crap on defense, and our offense has bailed us out. So that's our mentality. You know, we got to bail them out. We got to get some turnovers. We got to, you know, set them up in some good field position and try to get some, you know, get them rolling a little bit when they're struggling. It's shocking. You know, it's just a prime example of, you know, when it rains, it pours. And for him, he hasn't been able to put it together this year. And that's tough. You know, I know he's a guy that is here when the sun, you know, before the sun comes up and doesn't leave until, you know, after it goes down. So I know he's put in the work. It just hasn't really come to fruition for him this season.
Well, when it rains, it pours is an understatement. I mean, we had some snow here yesterday, and they had it worse today, even though the field might have been clean. I mean, listen, it's terrible when you're doing a post-game show on your team and you have really nothing nice to say. I mean, that's as bad as it could possibly be.
Well, I think I'm always going to appreciate Justin Tuck's honesty, because he gets on there every week at the press conference and he's as honest as it can be, good or bad. And when things work well, they work well, and you credit everyone. And when they don't work as well, and Justin Tuck said, there are some games where the offense has to pick them up and they get to play with a lead. There are some games where the defense has to pick them up. And that's what happened today. I mean, Justin Tuck's had what, 7 sacks in the last couple weeks. He's proving that he just still has some kind of high quality as a player in this league and on the Giants team. But unfortunately, everyone has to put in that type of effort, especially in a big game like today.
And you would think that everybody would see his type of effort and the kind of leadership that he brings. That might, you know, kind of motivate some of the other players. Right. And you got to kind of give it to Justin Tuck. The last couple of years playing hurt, he comes in this year and really has stopped the run against the most teams. The defense has done real well. He's been a big part of that. And more importantly, the last 4 games, getting 7.5 sacks. So his production is certainly still there. He's looking for a new contract next year. Whether he'll be a New York Giant, who knows? But you certainly want to see him back in a Giant uniform.
One of the things that I look at this offense and I say, you know, I just wish that they were a little more creative in the sense that, you know, if you're a team that is a pass rush, a team that has a great pass rush and you know you're going against them, you got to try to run the ball. You try to throw draws, misdirection, get right. Eli out of the pocket. And I don't know if I saw that today. And maybe they just feel like they're so hamstrung by their protection on offense that they can't do anything. We know how bad their screen game has been this year. And some of those things are just kind of compounding into a situation to where if you're Kevin Gilbride, the play caller, third and long, what do you call? You can't run the ball. You can't throw the ball consistently because you can't protect. And then you guys are on the outside, the guys are getting beat in one-on-one battles against Seattle today, like they did today against Seattle.
Well, maybe what the problem is on offense, the Giants know what they have, and what they have, quite frankly, is not good enough. And, you know, this is the first time we heard the head coach throw, I don't want to say, well, yeah, you could say throw him under the bus. I mean, he completely, when you call your offense pathetic, that's as bad as it gets. And that's just what the head coach Tom Coughlin did earlier, you know, at his press conference. You're watching Giants Post Game Live here on My9. Stay right where you are.
Verizon Fios, making life more entertaining with America's fastest, most reliable internet.
Steve, everybody understands the situation you guys are in. Couple of games to go, season just in total disarray. As a professional, how difficult is it to keep it together? How difficult is it to go out there and, as they say, play for pride?
It's not difficult to play for pride at all. You know, I mean, I think this team, this locker room, the individuals on this team, we believe in each other, and that's the frustrating part is the coaching staff puts together a great game plan for us. You know, to come out here on Sundays, and it's frustrating because the amount of pride and the amount of positive energy in the locker room is not transitioning to the field. So it's frustrating because we all care. You know, there's no person that we want to fight for more than the guy, you know, for the locker next to us and the fans and, you know, our coaching staff. But it's been a frustrating season.
You know, you mentioned about fight, and Tom Coughlin is all about fight. This is a guy who always comes up with a motivational message every week, trying to make sure that, you know, he's got you guys exactly ready to and prepared to win. Your thoughts about the kind of job that he has had to fight through this year, from losing his brother earlier in the year, the 0-6 start, to trying to keep you guys together?
Yeah, I mean, I've never met a better leader, a better man than Coach Coughlin. And that's, you know, the disappointing and frustrating part about this season is the players ourselves have dug ourselves such a hole. And, you know, I mean, it's difficult for a head coach to eat that because he does such a great job in training camp. And, you know, granted, we've had some injuries on our offensive line and injuries on the defense as well. So, but, you know, I mean, that's the NFL. That's the sport we play, and that happens to every team. So it's frustrating, but, you know, we try to move forward with a positive energy and a positive attitude and go out there and play for each other and play for the fans.
Steve, what do you say to the fans who continue to come out, the loyal Giants fans who've been around forever? You know the tradition of the Big Blue Wrecking Crew. What do you say to them as they try to come out and support this team over the last couple of weeks, knowing the situation as it is?
Well, I mean, first, we just want to thank everybody because, you know, as far as playoffs are concerned, we don't have an opportunity to play for that. But, you know, there's a lot of pride in this locker room, and I appreciate everybody coming out and supporting us. And, you know, we're going to work through this, and we're going to, you know, do it with an intensity because, you know, it is a blessing to be able to wear that helmet and come out here on Sundays and play this game. I don't care if, you know, we've got a chance to play in the Super Bowl or a chance to make the playoffs at all. You know, it's a surreal feeling to be able to run out on that field on Sundays. And I know, you know, there's a million people that would die to be able to for that opportunity to be able to come out and put on a New York football, New York football Giant helmet and, you know, just stick with us.
And, of course, that's why losses like this hurt all the more.
Yeah, you know, I mean, yeah. Because we prepare hard. You know, we put a lot of time in the off season and training camp. And, you know, we do care. And it's frustrating.
Steve Weatherford, thanks for your time.
Yep. Thank you.
Well, you know, Steve Rutherford is right about one thing. It's frustrating for all parties concerned, but I didn't see a lot of pride out there today. Again, certainly not on offense. Let me ask you a question. As a former punter, what is it like where Steve was watching, where you're watching what is going on? Kind of, you know, you're getting a bird's eye view of what's going on, and everything going on today was going in the opposite direction.
Well, it's funny you asked that because you have a lot of more time than a lot of guys. You're not in meetings, and you get to see kind of the pulse of the team in the locker room and kind of see, you know, what guys are saying about it. And then on the sidelines, you kind of sometimes it's not a good scene because you see a lot of things that you really never going to say to anyone in the media. But it's important that if you're one of the, like Steve, who's I consider him one of the leaders on that team, to be able to represent and go out there and do the best he can from his positional wise. A punter can only do so much, guys. But as long as he's going out there and he's giving it all he has, that's all really you can ask of that position.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, you got to ask a lot more from a lot of people on that team because they were not getting it done today. You all watching Giants Post Game Live here on My9. Stick around. We're coming back to wrap things up. And what we got to say is not a very good wrap up. All right. Well, we'd be remiss if we didn't say a big time thank you to Wendy's for, I got to tell you, they provided us and the entire crew with bacon, portobello, milk combo meals today. Roman had no less than 14 of them. All this month, Wendy's and the New York Giants are teaming up to tackle adoption. Very important. When you purchase a portobello milk combo through December 31st, Wendy's will donate $1 to local foster care adoption agencies at participating tri-state area Wendy's, the official hamburger restaurant of the New York Giants. Now, do me a favor, pal. 14. Let's go for number 15 right there.
Well, I had five before we started the segment. So
well, yeah, you're going to have six, seven.
Six
you're going to give
left.
Them two. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is going to hurt me tomorrow morning. You got to take care of your offensive linemen.
I didn't get a chance to eat mine, so I'm going to, thanks to you.
Does this count as my Saturday bring food to the
yeah,
linemen?
Exactly.
Okay, there you go.
Well, it's not bullying, though. We don't want to be bullying anybody bringing food. But, you know, guys, I mean, the Russ, this thing's only going to go one of three ways, right? 5-11, 6-10, or 7-9. And unfortunately, the Giants have put themselves in a position. And the 0-6 start, you know, really was the start of the bleeding. And we've seen all those problems as a result of what happened at the start of the season.
I think the real thing here is how this team responds the last two games after what they did last week against San Diego, how they came in playing at home today against the Seahawks team, how they played there. It was just absolutely despicable. See how they respond and come back and play against Detroit going on the road.
Don't tell me about how much pride and effort you put on the field. I want to see it. I don't want to hear about it. I want to see it on film. That's all I have to say.
Well, we were talking about pride. Coach was talking about pride and respectability. That was not there, very evident today for the crowd at MetLife or the people watching to see. But their next game, nonetheless, will be next Sunday, December 22nd, and it's a big one. Giants travel out to Motown to face the Detroit Lions. Game time, 4:05. Then, as always, the moment the game ends, you want to flip right back here to My9 for the official Giants post-game show, Giants Post-Game Live. For Amani Toomer, Jeff Eagles, Roman Oben, myself, Russ Salzberg, thanks for watching. We will see you next week.